Listen, if a child don't know why they're being disciplined, the entire purpose is lost.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the final part of Pastor Brian Grant's message, where he shares from God's Word three keys to raising children. This is the fifth in Pastor Grant's series entitled Secrets to a Happy Home, and Pastor Grant has been using Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through chapter 6, verse 4 as his main text because this portion of Scripture provides the divine model for how family members are to relate to one another in a way that pleases God and produces that happy home. Last week, we heard how the happy home is a home where parents follow God's model by bringing up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and Pastor Grant gave us two keys as to what that looks like in practical terms. Pastor Grant explained from God's Word, children require nurturing. Secondly, that children also require warning. This evening, we will hear the third key to raising children in the ways of God. Again, we invite you to visit our website at www.tcafamilychurch.org to watch the video of this message in its entirety. We appreciate your joining us now as we hear the conclusion of Pastor Grant's message, Secrets to a Happy Home, Part 5. Here once again is Pastor Grant.
Your life, my life, should be a blackboard on which the children can see the ways of God displayed. They can watch me and they can see the ways of God displayed. Too often though, the only time we pick up the Bible is when we're on the way to church. You know, the pastor came to visit a church family and they wanted to impress him on how godly they were and how much they loved the Bible. And so they said to their little son, Johnny, go into the family room and bring that book that mom and dad love to read so much. Bring that book that mom and dad, we just love to read it. Well, poor Johnny, he went and he got the book that they love to read. And on the front, it didn't say Holy Bible. It said Secrets to Winning the Powerball. Make sure that we're seriously involved in sharing this. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to put it on the screen again for you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And sometimes, if you notice, I like to use different versions of the Bible because some versions are more theological than others. The Living Bible tries to bring it right down to shoe leather, okay? Here's how the Living Bible puts this theological treatise about the Word of God. Here's what it says. And as we read, parent, stop a minute and look at it and say, isn't this what I want to teach my children? Look at it. It says the whole Bible was given to us by the inspiration from God, and it's useful to teach us what is true. Isn't that what you want to teach a kid? To be true? And to make us realize what is wrong in our lives? Is that what you want to teach a kid? What is true and what is wrong? It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. My brother and sister, parents, we are struggling so hard to teach our children these very things that God is telling us. This is what the entire Bible, one of the things it's designed to do is to teach your children the very things that you're trying to teach them without picking up the Bible. And I'm saying to you, my brother and sister, it is time we stop leaving the Bible on the back shelf and bring it to the front shelf and start putting it into the center of our lives. Amen? But listen, our kids not only require counsel and advice, instructing also requires warning. Training by words includes counsel and advice, but it must also include warning. Make sure to warn your children that their choices matter. Choices matter. There are consequences for bad decisions. And parents, be very careful how quick you are to release or relieve your child from every bad consequence of their decision. Sometime a child needs to what? Feel the consequence of their bad decision. Some of us, anytime a child is facing a bad consequence, we relieve them from it. That is not Bible. And so Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 through 9, the Bible warns us that God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he must also reap. Key number one, our children require nurturing. Key number two, our children require instructing. But key number three, our children require training. It says here in Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The New American Standard Bible uses the word discipline, whereas the New King James uses the word training. And so sometimes it's very helpful when you go back to the original to see what did the original Greek mean. Why is one version saying discipline and the other verses using the word training? This is because the Greek word used implies, put this down, training by discipline. The implication of training is not just training like you go to a training class. The idea here in the Greek is training by discipline. It is pointing to the painful part of training. The word is chastening. Now, I read recently several articles from secular psychologists stating that all spanking and chastisement is bad. Anybody ever heard that story before? Well, the God who created every child says the exact opposite. And my brothers and sisters, I want us to make sure that we are believers who believe God more than the secular psychologist. The secular psychologist might tell you that all spanking is bad, but I'm not seeing where our society is getting any better. I have never seen so much killing in my short life. It's ridiculous. And it's not just old folks are doing it, you know. Young, old, everybody's killing. Something is wrong. Something is wrong on both sides. Here's what Proverbs 22:15 tells us. Here's what it says. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Now stop, because some of us say, okay, kids are going to be silly. That's not what the Bible is talking about. It's not talking about silliness. It's not talking about childishness. God wants a child, I told you last week, to be a child. What it's talking about is rebellion. It is saying that rebellion is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him or her. Amen. I am a witness. Anybody else is a witness? You said, Brother Brian, you still haven't learned because you still need some, you haven't got there yet. Bringing up children requires not only training by words, but also training by discipline. You can put that in your notes. Bringing up children requires not only training by words, but also training by discipline. Amen? But if we don't chasten correctly, it can be counterproductive. And the truth is, if we are honest, too many Christians are not chastising their children properly, and it is counterproductive. So I took some time to do some research, and I want to share with you 7 tips to chastening a child. Now, I may as well confess from the beginning that yours truly did not follow this in its entirety, because yours truly did not even know all about what I'm going to tell you. So I'm going going to apologize and ask forgiveness to my three children who all are here today. I ask their forgiveness for some of the disciplining I did, because not all of my disciplining was correct disciplining, but by God's grace. Aren't you thankful He's a God of grace? Not all the discipline I got was right, but by God's grace, my brothers and I have come to Jesus and are seeking to walk with Him. Hallelujah for grace. But listen, just because God is so gracious don't mean we have to keep on doing the wrong thing. And I tell you, I've spoken to enough parents to realize, here's what I'm finding out. I'm meeting a lot of parents in the last few years who are abusing their children because they were abused themselves. And this is a big issue. It's a big issue. We may not want to admit it. It's huge. And there are relationships that are broken down. There are adults in their church right now who probably don't speak to their parents because they were abused. And so we need to deal with this. We need to solve this problem. And my friend, I want to give you this morning 7 tips to chastening a child. Number 1, never do it in anger. Amen? Never do it in anger. I have a feeling, if I ask for a show of hands, how many of us have ever disciplined a child in anger? I would not be the only parent raising their hand. Do you realize why it is so dangerous to discipline your child in anger? Well, help me out. Talk to me. Why do you think it's dangerous? You can lose control. You know how it usually starts? You're so angry. The first thing you're doing, you're yelling. Yeah, 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 yeah. What do you think the child does back? Yell back. And now the child is yelling, you say, "You are such a rude child. How dare you yell at your parent?" Wham! No, you. In fact, you grab the nearest frying pan. Missiles are sailing all over the house. Whoosh! Plates. So number 1, I want every parent here today, if you still have children in your home, I want you to ask God, "God, please help me never to do discipline in anger anymore. I'm going to wait. I'm going to say to Him, I'm going to deal with you as soon as I calm down." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As soon as I calm down, and by the way, don't hurt you to tell Him it's coming. It will marinate. Let it marinate. He know it's coming. The sad thing though is that there's some wishy-washy parents who say it's coming, but it never came. You need to discipline yourself. Oh, I'm sorry. That's one of the worst things you can do, is to promise it's coming and it doesn't come. The only reason it shouldn't come if you say it's coming is because you realize you're wrong and you said, "Honey, I'm sorry. Mommy was wrong. I had the whole idea wrong. I'm not going to discipline, but apologize." God, there's no apology. Then the child says, "Oh, mommy's a joke. That is a joke. They're just joke. They just promise a whole lot of stuff." Hey, so let it come. Let it rain. But don't do it in anger.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
2, choose a private place. Choose a private place. Don't humiliate your kids in front of others. Choose a private place. I could speak a message on each, but I'm going to move on. 3, give the reason for the discipline. Ask them if they know why they're being disciplined. You know, some children, you just beat them and they don't know why. Ask why, And if they don't know why, tell them why. Listen, if a child don't know why they're being disciplined, the entire purpose is lost. I hope you're listening to me. Parents, I hope you're listening to me. If a child does not know why they're being disciplined, the entire purpose is lost. 4, apply the rod. But before applying the rod, there are 3 things you need to do first. This is important. Choose the right rod. That's important. Because some parents, as I said, they'll choose a frying pan, a baseball bat. They'll choose anything that they find. Choose the right rod, a switch that stings without any damage. Oh, they need to feel a little sting, a little pain, okay? But it's something that does no damage. Parent, I hope you get that. It's something, not an electric cord. Are you with me? Something that stings, but does absolutely no damage. Choose the right rod. Choose the right body part. Listen, are you still awake? Everybody still awake? If you're awake, say amen. Listen to what I'm going to say here. Pick a very meaty body part. Did you get what I said? Pick a meaty body part. You want a part that has some cushion. That's why this rear end is such a good part. It has some cushion. All right? Because what you're trying to do is to give them discipline, but you don't want to have any damage done. Amen? You don't want no lasting effect. You just want this thing. 3rd thing about applying the rod, choose the amount of discipline. Some parents have no idea how much lashes they're going to give. Am I making this up? We just wing it. We start disciplining the child, and we keep going until we run out of gas. Decide in advance how much is this crime worth. Listen, the punishment has to be related to the crime. Come on. Some things only deserve a small number. Others may require more. Others may require a little more pressure. Are you with me this morning? Amen. And as the child gets older, they may require a little more pressure, because the objective is the child is to feel, they must feel something, but there should be no damage done to that child. Make sure it's a meaty part. Make sure you've chosen the amount. Listen. Point number 5. So what have I said? Don't do it in anger. Choose a private place. Give the reason for the discipline. Apply the rod. 5, comfort them. Give them a chance to cry, then hug them. For we miss this piece. Don't raise your hand now, but many parents miss this piece, you know. We miss this piece about hugging them. We miss the part about comforting them. And while you're hugging them, reinforce, that's the 6th point, reinforce that you love them. And assure them you will always love them. Are you seeing how discipline has a different take than the way it's been done? Where it's just about, okay, the ferocious lion is coming. The lion is coming to get you. No, the lion ain't coming to get you. We're actually trying to change behavior. And we want at the end of the change of the process, we want a child who loves mom and dad even more. But 7. Let them ask the people involved for forgiveness. Did you put that down? Let them ask the people involved for forgiveness. So more often than not, you'll be the first one they have to ask for forgiveness because they did something to you too. But let them ask the people. And I want to stop here and just say this to parents. This is one of the most important aspects of discipline, and it's a part that we usually leave out. We trivialize this. And today we're still reaping the consequences. Because children are not raised to ever know they need to ask for forgiveness. Are you with me? We need to raise our children that they recognize how important it is to seek forgiveness. So if they gave that the little brother a black eye, they need to go to him and say, "Tim, I'm so sorry I busted your head like that. Would you forgive me?" This is so important. Sadly, many of us, as I said, weren't raised practicing this. And I believe as a result of this, as I bring this message to a close, I believe as a result of this, there are some parents, wake up now, I believe there are some parents here who have hurt their children and have never asked the child for forgiveness. You've never seen the need because your parents sinned against you and they didn't ask you for forgiveness. So you don't see why you have to ask them. And some of you have children that are adults now and there's still issues. There's drama going on with you and your children. And I'm going to ask you, parent, to make it right. Go sit down and talk to your child. Some of you know what the issue is. Some of you don't know, but listen, I suspect that if you went and said, "Listen, Dad, Mom, I'm here because I've heard some things about parenting, and as I look through my own heart, I don't think I got it right. Tell me, what did I do to hurt you? Because I want to know what I did to hurt you, that I could ask you for your forgiveness." Get it right. Get it right. Get it right. I'm not making it up. People are coming and I'm talking to parents who are still alienated from their children. And when we talk, they realize it is because of how the children were raised. The issues went on that have never been resolved. There has never been forgiveness requested. But parent, children, some of you are here. You may be adult children. And you hurt your parents. And you have never asked your parent for forgiveness. You need to go to them. You need to call. You need to do something and say, "Mom, Dad, I know I did it. I hurt you. And I'm sorry. Would you forgive me?" Man, I tell you, you know, what God is trying to do. Remember what our series is entitled, Secrets to a Happy Home. And all I'm saying to you is in this passage, it starts with submission to each other. The reason it starts with submission to each other is to submit, because to submit, it means we have to get rid of the pride. We have to put on a spirit of humility. And until we get the spirit of humility, we will have no desire to say to anybody, "Forgive me." But you know what is the greatest tragedy? The greatest tragedy that there are people here today. Every person seated here has sinned against God. Yes, you may have sinned against your mom or your child, and that's bad. But every one of us have sinned against God. The tragedy is that some of us have still not come to God and ask Him for His forgiveness. My friend, that's where I want to end this morning, because listen, until you come to God and ask Him for His forgiveness, the relationship between you and God is never going to be what it ought to be. Listen, as far as God is concerned, until you come for forgiveness, you are not a part of His family. You're not entitled to any of His blessings. You are a stranger. You're a part of the children, the kingdom of darkness. But listen, when you come to God and say, "God, I admit that I have sinned against You. And God, I am sorry I have sinned against You. And God, I'm asking You to forgive me." I want to tell you, if this morning you would come to God and say, "God, I want You to forgive me. I want You to know that there is forgiveness in Jesus." Because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and He shed His blood. What did the choir sing? What was that last song again? What's that? "It was a great thing that He did for me. Jesus died on Calvary so the whole wide world might see. It was a great thing that He did for me." My friend, He did it for you, and He did it for you, and He did it for me. And this morning, forgiveness is available. Oh, we need forgiveness with each other. But the most important forgiveness is to receive God's forgiveness. I received it. I was only 9 years old. But Jesus Christ forgave me. And he came to live in my heart. And he changed my life. And he can do that for you this morning. If you'll come to him and say, Father, forgive me.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.